trying to really send a message, and with the soft tongue, the other person really doesn't get the message, or doesn't really take it seriously. Now you are now it is permissible for you to not use a harsher tone, not an absolute harsh tone, a harsher tone in comparison to the soft tongue. A harsher tone to show the level of importance and that you're serious about it, to show the seriousness of the issue. Because if you tell a person, brother, it's important to pray, make sure you perform your prayer on time. And he also says, yes, brother, thank you. And you feel like he really hasn't got the message, and you see he's not praying. And you keep telling him with a soft tongue, but it's not really having its effect. Now Islam says that, yes, bump this up by using a bit of a more harsher tone. Let him know that you're serious about this. He needs to stop what he's doing, or he needs to begin to do what he's not doing. So this is the next stage. The final stage is, after one has established hatred in his heart, disgust in his heart, and he has shown it with facial expression and through his words, then it transfers and turns into enjoining the good and forbidding the evil on a physical level. Now, all of these have their conditions, well, inshallah we'll get to tomorrow. These aren't absolute, that you frown, you tell them nicely, you tell them harshly, all within a matter of 30 seconds, and then now you're going to take his hand and twist it, take his ear and twist it, or God forbid, slap him upside the head, punch him in the face, you know, like tackle him to the ground. Why are you not wearing good hijab? Why are you not praying? Smack. Why do you have these friends? For example, I hate you. Smack. This is, unfortunately, exists in some of our cultures. Even for the ones that try to be really to practice the teachings, they say, okay, we have three stages. I'll do the first three really fast. And then I'll get to my real goal and motive, which is to hit him. To show him I am the authority and the power. And I need to assert that. These have conditions, inshallah, we'll get to. But this level of enjoining the good and forbidding the evil also exists. They may be at lower levels, and they may even progress to a level of jihad, where one must give their life and oppose and stand up to injustices and destroy that injustice until the person comes back to the way of Allah, which is the way of humanity. That means performing good and enjoining the good and propagating the good and abandoning the evil. We're not saying you fight with him until he becomes Muslim. No. Until he comes back and turns back to that morally sound behavior. So, the reason why we love and we respect and we commemorate Imam Hussein and we speak so highly of him and we want everyone to be his lover and follower, why? Is it because he's related to the Holy Prophet? That's just it? He's a relative? Didn't the Holy Prophet have relatives like Abu Jahl? Do we want to be the followers of Abu Jahl? Do we cry for Abu Jahl? Do we try to make him look good? No. So it's not about him just being related to the Holy Prophet. It's because he was a complete human being. In what sense? He knew his social responsibilities and he acted upon them. When we look at the movement of Imam Hussein through his life, and especially in this event and this sacrifice, you see that every level of enjoining the good and forbidding the evil was performed. And sometimes they were re-performed. He obviously had the hatred. He showed his disgust and his disapproval with facial expressions. He used his words. Some words were so sweet and so touching and so soft. He also used more serious and harsher words. And after none of these were effective is when he took the next step towards instilling this notion of enjoining the good and forbidding the evil for the good of mankind, for the good of humanity. That's why we love Imam Hussein so much. But where is this emulation of his culture and his character? Look at all of the injustices that exist in today's world. Why do we still struggle with poverty in the world today? Are we really not advanced enough to be able to feed everyone? Why are people still dying of hunger? Did we not all hear of the reports in Somalia just a few months ago? of people in the thousands dying of hunger and thirst. In the sense that a family would have to walk for miles with their bare feet, and they had to make decisions like this, that when they were walking miles, they had young children, they had infants, they had women, and it came to the point that the children would slow them down, some of the children would slow them down, and they knew if they slowed down their pace, they would all die of thirst and hunger, because they wouldn't make it to the water and the food in time. So what did they have to do? They had to leave their children there. They had to witness their children die in front of their eyes. They had to dig the graves of their children who were still living and breathing. And then leave them and continue in the hopes that inshallah they will be able to get a hole of water and food to feed their children and themselves so they don't die. Are these not injustices that exist in today's world? Where are the people who are the followers of Hussein? Where are the flag bearers of justice? We as a human race and humanity, we failed. We have failed in our responsibilities towards other humans. And we have achieved this failure. It wasn't because someone else did something. No, we achieved it ourselves. We are responsible, no one else is. We have failed, we have not emulated, and we have not learned from the lessons of Hussein alayhi salam. It's unfortunate that some of us who come and remember the holy imams, our only goal is for them to be interceders for us in the day of judgment. We only cry for Hussein and his fallen soldiers because we know we're weak human beings, and when we are put in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we know that if Allah is to judge us justly, our place is the hellfire. So we say, Hussein, we cried for you, please come and intercede for us so we don't go to the hellfire. But as far as practicing your legacy and culture, no, I don't want to do that. Even in Muslim countries, it's unfortunate. We have this problem. The true followers of Hussein, let them be Muslim or not, are those who stand against injustice. Are those who are not afraid to give their lives and to stand up against an oppressor and saying what you're doing is wrong, I will not stand for it. Not the person who sits and says it is wrong. When you know your words will not have an effect, what's the point of just sitting and saying? Do we not have the potential to eliminate injustices that exist in today's world? What are we waiting for then? Are we waiting for the imam to reappear? Were there not imams previous to our time? What happened then? Is the existence of an imam the only element that is required to establish justice? 11 imams came before our living imam. What happened? People just like you and me said that we are their followers, and when time came for us to really act upon it, what happened? We sit on the sidelines. Or we turn into the monster and the menace that helps support this injustice in the world. Those who truly understand the message of Abbas, those who truly understand the sacrifice of Hussein, are the children and the orphans that are dying in Somalia and in Africa. Those who we have forgotten, those who we feel we're not responsible for. I swear by Allah that the first question that they'll ask us when we die in the presence of Allah in judgment is not how much we pray. Is not how many days we fasted. Is not how many mustahab prayers we've done. It's not just about how much money we've given in the way of Allah. The first question they'll ask is, what did you do in regard to this injustice? Prayer and fasting and charity are all tools to help us acknowledge and drive us towards performing our social responsibilities. For if they were the goal, then anyone who prayed and fasted and read Quran would be guided and their place would be in heaven. were those who stood against Imam Ali alayhi salam and fought with him, were they not hafiz of the Quran? Did they not memorize the Quran? Were they not people who they say would pray nightly prayers every night, midnight? They would get up in the middle of the night and pray nightly prayers. All of their prayers were performed, probably better than me and you. But when it came time for them to acknowledge and identify what justice is, they failed. And we are failing. We are failing. By Allah, we are failing. Look at the problems that exist. Look at all the corruption and all the injustice we have in the Muslim world. Look at Palestine. Do we as Muslims not have the potential to support Palestine? What's the problem? Look in Syria, in Bahrain, in Iraq, in Egypt, everywhere around the Muslim world, we are all being oppressed and injustices are occurring. But none of us feel obligated towards doing anything. This is something we have to answer for. And we ask Allah, and we ask Imam Hussein, and we ask the living Imam to forgive us. For we know we are weak individuals and we are at fault. But we beg of them, we beg of you, O Imam, O living Imam, for you to help us and take our hands and help us and put us in your following and give us the strength towards standing up for what is right. Sallallahu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. And please dim the lights, we'll begin with Sayyidah. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك عليك مني سلام الله أبدا ما بقي وبقي الليل والنهار ولا جعله الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين. Today we remember and commemorate two individuals who are true followers of the Imam of their time. The first was the son of Imam al-Husayn, Ali al-Akbar, an individual that the Holy Imam loved very much. He was the son of Hussein. The Imam had seen him grow up before his own eyes. They say that Ali al-Akbar, his face and the way he acted and the way he spoke was very similar to that of the Holy Prophet. And when the Imam and the Ahlul Bayt wanted to revisit the Prophet, they would go and see Ali al-Akbar. When the time came on the day of Ashura, Ali al-Akbar came to his father Hussein and he seek permission to enter into battle. Imam al-Hussein hugged his son Ali and began to cry. For when he saw Ali, he saw the Holy Prophet. And he knew what would happen to his son Ali as he entered the battlefield. The Imam, as he gave permission and as his son was entering battle, As he witnessed his son going towards the enemies, the holy Imam said, Allahumma kun anta shaheed alayhim. Oh Allah, I want you to bear witness on this son. فَقَدْ بَرَزَ إِلَيْهِمْ غُلَامٌ أَشْبَهُ النَّاسِ خَلْقًا وَخُلْقًا وَمَنْطِقًا بِرَسُولِكَ وَكُنَّا إِذَا اشْتَقْنَا إِلَى نَبِيكَ نَظَرْنَا إِلَيْهِ Oh Allah, I want you to be witness to this young man who was the closest resemblance of the Holy Prophet. And his looks and personality and the way he spoke. And every time we would miss the Holy Prophet, we would go to this Ali al-Akbar. As Ali entered the battlefield, this fearless young man began to battle and fight with the enemies of Islam while he recited this poetry. Ana Ali ibn al-Husayn ibn Ali. نحن وبيت الله أولى بالنبي تالله لا يحكم فينا ابن الدعي أضرب بالسيف أحامي عن أبي ضرب غلام هاشمي علوي He said, I am son of Hussein, who is the son of Ali. And me and my family is more qualified and resemble the legacy of the Holy Prophet better than you, O people. By Allah that I swear that this individual, this Ibn Ziyad, is ruling the Muslim Ummah. And me with my sword, I will kill and destroy you. Just like the fighting and the bravery of a young man of Hashimi and Alawi. They say Ali al-Akbar engaged in battle. Some say he killed 120 enemies of Islam. But the thirst was getting to Ali al-Akbar. He was thirsty. He returned to his holy father and said, Ya Aba, al-Atashu qatalani. والثقل الحديد جدني Oh my father, the thirst is killing me and my shield and my sword are becoming tough to carry Imam Hussein said, Oh my son, be patient soon you will be reconnected with the Prophet and he will give you a drink there that will quench your thirst Ali al-Akbar continued into battle And as he was fighting the enemies of Islam, one of the enemies came and struck Ali al-Akbar. An arrow struck the throat of Ali. They say so much blood was coming from the body of Ali that as he was struck, he fell down on his horse. And the horse became frightened by this action. So instead of returning to the camp of Imam al-Hussein, the horse went towards the camp of the enemies. When Ali al-Akbar went into the camp of enemies, all the enemies surrounded him. They all began to hit him with their swords. فَقَطَعُوا بِسِيُوفِهِمْ إِرْبَانْ إِرْبَانْ All of the enemies began to strike the body of Ali al-Akbar and they made it piece to piece. At that time, it was Ali al-Akbar that yelled for his father, Ya Abata, alayka minni salam, ala jaddi Rasulullah, yaqra'uka salam. ويقول عجل القدوم إلينا Oh my father يا حسين farewell from me your son Ali I am leaving this world but here next to me is the Holy Prophet The Holy Prophet and he is telling me يا حسين quickly come to us and reconnect with us قد سقاني بكأس الأوفى شربا لا ظما بعدها أبا Muhammada, he has given me, the Holy Prophet, a drink that I will never become thirsty afterwards. Imam Hussein went to the body of his son. Said, Ya Bunayya, لقد استرحت من هم الدنيا وغمها وبقي أبوك فريدا وحيدا. Oh my son, oh Ali, you have been martyred, you are now free and you are reconnected with the Holy Prophet. But from now on, your father will be left alone without support. This world will do injustices to him. He then called the youth of Bani Hashim to come and return the body of Ali al-Akbar to the tents. They say that when the Imam came to the body of Ali al-Akbar, a woman exited the tents and ran to the body. This woman was Zainab. The Imam reconciled her and said, Zainab, return to the tents. But this wasn't the time that the Imam was left without support and help. It was really the time that his brother Abbas was martyred that the Imam was left alone. When the Imam ordered Abbas alayhi salam to go get water for the children, they say Abbas went to the river of Furat and filled the container with water. He said, my goal is to return to the tents and give this water to the children and the women who are thirsty. And so long as I have this water, I am hopeful. As Abbas returned to the camp, he was surrounded by enemies. One of them severed his right arm and the water fell to the floor. But Abbas said, this water still existed, I am still hopeful. He took the water and put it on his left hand until another of the enemies of Islam cut his left hand off. But what did Abbas say? Do not fear the disbelievers. Ya Abbas, the water is still here. So he took the water by his teeth and continued to the tents of Imam al-Hussein. But it came the time that an arrow hit this container of water and all the water fell to the floor. This is when Abbas's heart was broken. He said, it isn't important that they cut my hands off and they've hit me with arrows, but now the water has spilled on the floor and all of the children of Hussein will remain thirsty. When he called out for his brother, Ya Akha, Adrik Akha, Hussein, when he heard this, he quickly went into the battlefield to find Abbas. Some narrations say that when Hussein first went, he couldn't find the body of Abbas. He continued with his horse until the horse refused to move. They say the Imam looked down and saw the severed hands of Abbas on the floor. The Imam began to cry and began to weep. He then continued with the horse again until the horse refused to move. He looked down and he saw the container of water that had been struck by the arrow. The Imam continued to weep and cry. He continued with the horse until one final time the horse refused to move. When he looked down, he saw the body of his brother Abbas drenched in blood and dirt. He went next to the body of Abbas and he recited these lines of poetry. فَلَمَّا رَهَا وَسِّبْتُ مُلْقًا عَلَى الثَّرَى فنادى بقلب بالهموم قد امتلى أخي كنت عوني في الأمور جميعها أبا الفضل يا من كان للنفس باذلا يعز علينا أن نراك على الثرى طريحا ومنك الوجه أضحى مرملا. He said, oh Abbas, oh brother who has been with me in all stages in life and you have supported me everywhere, oh Abbas, seeing you in this state is hard for your brother and it has broken my back. Ya Abbas, after you I will be left left alone and life will be hard. It is hard for me to see Abbas on the floor drenched in blood. وهوى عليه ما هنالك قائلا اليوم بان عن اليمين حسامها اليوم صار اليوم صار عن الكتائب كبشها اليوم غاب عن الهدى تمامها اليوم نامت أعين بك لم تنوم وتساهدت أخرى فعز منامها. He said, oh Abbas, today is the day that I lost my friend and my companion. Today is the day that the believers and the leader have been disconnected. Abbas, you are the flag bearer of this army. Today we have lost you and the rest of the supporters will not have a flag bearer. Oh Abbas, today is the day that the enemies of Islam, that until you were alive were not able to sleep, tonight they will sleep because they know Abbas is dead. And for all the people and all the Ahlul Bayt, they could sleep at night because they knew Abbas was there to protect them. What will they do now? What will Sakina do now when Abbas is dead? Wa Abbas, wa Aliya, wa Abbas, wa Aliya, wa Abbas, wa Aliya, wa Aliya. Ala la'natullahi ala al-qawm al-zalimin, wa sayya'lamu al-ladhina zalamu ayya munqalabin yanqalibun. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اللهم نسألك وندعوك باسمك العظيم الأعظم العازل جل الأكرم إلهي بحق فاطمة وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها والسر المستودع فيها وبدماء شهدائنا وبإمام زماننا يا الله 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 يا رحمن يا رحيم يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك
يا الله
واكفنا يا غالي الحاجات ويا كافي المهمات إنك مجيب الدعوات إنك على كل شيء قدير. اللهم عجل لوليك الفرج اللهم عجل لوليك الفرج اللهم عجل لوليك الفرج والعافية والنصر واجعلنا من خير أنصاره وأعوانه والمستشهدين بين يديه وامن علينا برضا. وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجا صلوات
اللهم صل على محمد.